Our society is plagued by worry and anxiety. We're anxious about our health, our kids, our school, exams, money, aging parents, unemployment, relationships, nuclear attacks, terrorisms, and a host of other things. Jonathan Haidt is a professor of ethical leadership at New York's University Stern School of Business. He's one of the world's leading experts in moral psychology, and he states, "Never before have the mental health statistics just gone haywire for generations so quickly. So whatever we're doing, kids born after 1995 have really high rates of anxiety." Staggering, isn't it? High rates of anxiety, depression, self-harm, and suicide. He states that while boys' hierarchy is based on athletic ability and toughness, or the ability to dominate and insult, competition and teasing, things like that. For girls, their aggression is relational. They damage each other's relationships. And so when smartphones come in, and social media especially, this multiplies their ability to damage each other's relationships enormously. Now, Jonathan Haidt is a great writer. I respect him. He's not a follower of Jesus Christ. But I think what he says, sadly, neatly summarizes so much of what's going on in our society. Many people live, and obviously according to Jonathan Haidt, many children, young boys and young girls, live with a high degree of anxiety and worry. Incidentally, Haidt believes, his belief is, that children should be limited to 2 hours a week of screen time, not counting homework. And he says, no social media until high school. Well, let's face it. When facing the real world, many of us feel stressed, don't we? Feverish anxieties, stress, tension. These little worms of gnawing worries attack all of us. And research has shown that anxiety and stress contribute to heart disease, ulcers, loss of memory, blood pressure, sexual dysfunction, diminished immune function, disturbed sleep patterns, and the list goes on. There's a huge industry, isn't there, in sleeping pills, antidepressants, tranquilizers, therapists, counselors, all designed to help people cope with anxiety and worry. And the worst part of worry is that we inflict it on ourselves, don't we? Experts are by no means agreed as to the cure for worry and anxiety. Experts say that exercise, meditation, and massage may provide some temporary relief, but there's no cure. Is there? Is it possible to experience peace and tranquility when we live in a society where there's so much stress, so much worry, so much anxiety, so much depression? What do you think? Today we're going to learn, this is a bold statement, but I'm going to make it. Today we're going to learn the spiritual cure to your anxieties, to your worries. Because the gospel of Jesus Christ speaks directly to this very, very important subject that impacts every single one of us. If you have your Bible, I want you to open it to Matthew chapter 6, and I'm going to read from the scriptures from part of what is called the Sermon on the Mount. Here is the teaching of Jesus writing 2,000 years ago in this brilliant passage, and we can summarize it by saying, bring all of your anxieties, all of your worries to the Lord. And as we think of this subject, first, there is something that we must not do according to the teaching of Jesus. He's telling us something which perhaps you're going to give a cynical laugh when you hear it, but he's telling us, do not be anxious. Matthew 6, verse 25, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing?" Verse 31, "Therefore do not be anxious." Verse 34, "Therefore do not be anxious about tomorrow," as Jesus in a sense summarizes his teaching. here at the end of Matthew chapter 6. Do not be anxious about tomorrow. This is a very challenging command, isn't it? Do not be anxious. This word anxious originally meant to rip something or tear something in two. We can identify that with that because when we're anxious, we say, I'm torn up about this. Something is churning within us. We feel the emotion. We may actually feel a physical pain in our stomach. We feel the tension in our head, and this worry that is getting to us, it rips us up. What's going on? Anxiety, feverish worries. But here is the command. Are you listening? Jesus is speaking to you today. He's saying, do not be anxious about your life. Some of you, as you sit here, are anxious. You're thinking about tomorrow. Difficult situation at work. Waiting the results of a medical exam. Concerned about your children. Concerned about that exam that you're about to take. Could be a thousand and one things, couldn't it? Here is the command from Jesus. Do not be anxious. And Jesus gives us several reasons why we're not to be anxious in this passage. I'm going to deal with five of them. First, verse 26, your heavenly Father is watching over you. Listen to verse 26, look at the birds of the air. You're going to learn from the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. God looks after the birds. And says Jesus, are you not of more value than they? The argument is a simple one that we can understand. If God takes care of the birds, if you make sure that they're provided for, he's certainly going to take care of you. Here's the first reason then why we're not to worry. Your heavenly Father is watching over you. You're of greater value to your heavenly Father than birds. Said the robin to the sparrow, I should really like to know why these anxious human beings rush about and worry so. Said the sparrow to the robin, friend, I think that it must be that they have no heavenly Father such as cares for you and me. I don't know if birds speak like that, but I'm sure they must think, what is it with these human beings, with all of their worry, with all of their anxiety? We're fine. We should be fine, shouldn't we, to know this? That whatever your circumstances today, and they may be very, very difficult, I'm certainly not minimizing them, that we have a heavenly Father who watches over us. That is, if through faith in Jesus Christ, we know God. John tells us that it is to those who receive Christ that he gives the right to become children of God, that we are born into the family of God, not through our baptism, not through church membership, but through a personal faith in the living Christ. And as I come to Jesus Christ and I know him as my Savior, I now realize that I'm in the family of God and that this great eternal God who's all-powerful, who in the beginning made the heavens and the earth, this great God is also my Father. And he's watching over me and you. Here's the second reason. Worry produces absolutely nothing. Verse 27, which of you by being anxious can add a single hour to his span of life? The old King James says, which one of you by being anxious can add a cubit to your height? Whatever height you are, you can be anxious about it, you can fret about it. Doesn't mean you're going to grow anymore. What's the point? You can worry and worry and worry, and you know what it accomplishes? It accomplishes absolutely nothing other than more pain, more anxiety for yourself. Someone said, worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it goes nowhere. You say, well, I enjoy my rocking chair. That may be, but when you worry, you have to understand it's a pointless exercise. In fact, it is counterproductive. The more you worry, the more you're going to worry. Seneca said very wisely, he suffers more than necessary who suffers before it is necessary. That's what worry does. Worry is thinking of something bad that's going to happen to us, and it's causing us pain before that event even comes. It's absolutely pointless. We must humbly accept in life that there are things we can't change. If you're unhappy with your height, you can't change it, says Jesus. You can add extra years life to yourself. There are things totally beyond our control. Worry, secondly, produces absolutely nothing. Third, your Heavenly Father knows all your needs. He watches over you, but He knows all your needs. Verse 28, and why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. A lesson from the birds, a lesson from the flowers. Yet I tell you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Again, the argument's a powerful one. You look out, not at this time of the year in North Carolina, but when I was recently in Scotland, you see this magnificent green grass. God produces the grass. God takes care of the grass. Nothing He's going to take care of you. What are you worried about? O ye of little faith. That's the argument, verse 31. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles, that is the pagans, unbelievers, seek after all these things. They're materialistic, and your Heavenly Father knows that you need them all. Think of the five fathers that stood here. They know what's best for their children. What would they think? What would a father think if his 3, 4, 5-year-old daughter or son was worrying what they would eat or if they would have enough clothes to wear? The father would say, stop worrying. I can handle this. I'm your father. I'm going to care for you. I love you. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to do all I can. And an earthly father is limited in his resources, but our Heavenly Father is unlimited, and He knows our needs, and He loves us. Fourth reason, your Heavenly Father provides all the needs of those who seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. This is where it gets a little convicting. Verse 33, but seek first, not your personal comfort, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Isn't that magnificent? That is, as we follow Jesus Christ, we put Jesus Christ first. I'm to seek first the kingdom of God. Not a comfortable life, not success. I'm to seek first the glory of God. Seek first the kingdom of God. And says Jesus, when you do that, you don't need to worry about all of the rest. I'm going to take care of it. All of these things, the things that you worry and you fret about, I'm going to take care of. What a great way to live. What a way of security our Heavenly Father provides for us. Who are the most uptight people? Who are the most anxious people? People who try to control everything. People who hold on to what they have. I've found over the years that the more generous you are, the tension goes, greater the peace. Who do you think gave the most generously this morning at the offering? The uptight person living in fear, oh, I don't know if I have enough money for next month. No. The person who is at peace realizes everything they have comes from the hand of God, that the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But if you're trying to control everything and hold on to everything with that grip, no wonder you're tense. No wonder you're anxious. Realize Seek first the kingdom of God, and God, your Heavenly Father, will take care of everything else. Here is the fifth reason I'm not to be anxious. Verse 34, God gives you, isn't this marvelous? God gives you all of the strength, all of the wisdom, and the grace that you need for today. Therefore, verse 24, here's a conclusion, as it were. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Well, what are you worrying about? You know, when we're worrying, we're always thinking of tomorrow, the next day, the next week, the next month, the next year. It's always in the future, isn't it? Says Jesus, don't do that. Do not be anxious about tomorrow. God doesn't give you and me the strength, the wisdom, and the grace that I need for tomorrow. He has promised. We saw this last week, didn't we, with unanswered prayer. God has promised that he will give me and he will give you all of the grace and all of the strength that you need for this moment. God takes care of you today. Don't worry about tomorrow. Give us this day our daily bread. That's part of the Lord's Prayer, isn't it? Not tomorrow. Remember the children of Israel going through the wilderness? God sent them the manna from heaven. It came to them each day. And there were people who were very greedy, and they took more than they supplied for one day, and they found that the next day the bread had become all moldy. God was teaching them, no, just trust me today. Today. Tomorrow is totally different. Being anxious about tomorrow robs us of the joy and the strength of today. Do you realize that the future doesn't belong to you, but to God? You're trying to control your future? That's pretty silly. Don't do that. Jesus is saying, stop worrying. The future does not belong to you, it belongs to God. And so Jesus is saying, verse 25, do not be anxious about your life. Verse 31, therefore do not be anxious. Verse 34, therefore do not be anxious about tomorrow. A lot of anxious people out there today, aren't there? What's Jesus saying to you? Stop it. Stop it. Don't be anxious. You say, well, is that all I have to do? No. Negative, don't be anxious. Positive, turn to Philippians chapter 4. Positive, what am I going to do with my worries and my anxieties? Just pretend they don't exist? Play some kind of psychological trick on myself? No. Don't do that. That's the power of positive thinking. That's not what the scriptures are saying. I'm to acknowledge my worry. I'm to acknowledge my fear. I'm to acknowledge before God that this is, in my own strength, a very worrying situation, but I'm to bring all of my worries and all of my anxieties to the Lord. Philippians 4, verse 6, Paul is writing, do not be anxious about anything. It's the same word that the Lord used in Matthew 6. Don't be anxious about anything. But here's the positive. In everything. So I'm not to be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Bring all of your worries and anxieties to the Lord. Some of you didn't sleep very well last night. You're worrying. Some of you have come through a very, very stressful week. What are your fears? What's your worries? What's your anxieties? Name them. Name them one by one and everyone. You might even want to write them down. What a collection we would have this morning, wouldn't we? It would fill volumes. All of our worries, all of our fears, all of our anxieties. What's Paul saying? The way to be anxious about nothing is to be prayerful in everything. All, no exceptions. All of my cares, all of my worries, all of my anxieties, all of my fears are to be brought to the Lord in prayer. And when you do that, the power of the worry is broken. And Paul says something remarkable, which is counterintuitive, but when you think about it, you realize this is very, very true, that as you pray about your worries and your anxieties, give thanks. Now, when you're worried and when you're anxious, perhaps being thankful is the last thing you feel, but thanksgiving is an essential and often forgotten spiritual key in dealing with anxiety and worry. What happens when we're anxious? We get a little self-pitying. We start complaining. We start whining. We may become very bitter about our circumstances, bitter even against God, bitter against our families if we think they're not performing well, bitter against our doctor, bitter against our boss, our employees. That comes in, doesn't it? Now, some of you here, you have been treated very badly. Your problems are huge. It's true, you don't deserve what's happening to you, but bitterness, anger, frustration, and resentment not only stop you from being thankful, they increase your worry, anxiety, and stress. Isn't that true? The more bitter you are, the more resentful you are, the more angry you are at that circumstance that is out of your control, the greater your worry. When we're thankful, what we're doing, we're acknowledging God's goodness and grace to us in the past. Just stop, sister. I know there's that problem in your life, but think back over your life. Think how good God has been to you. And as we give thanks, there's also an acknowledgement of our dependence on God for the present and the future. My life is in the hands of my Heavenly Father. Underneath are the everlasting arms. Paul has said here in Philippians 4, verse 3, your names are in the book of life. I'm saved by God's grace. Whatever happens, whether there's a nuclear holocaust, whether terrorists attack Charlotte, whatever happens, or whether you have a terminal illness, whether the worst thing imaginable happens in your life, there is nothing in the whole universe which can remove my name from the book of life. I'm saved by the grace of God. Isn't that wonderful to know? My name is in the book of life. Therefore, says Paul, rejoice. Rejoice when you're worrying. Yes. Count your many blessings. What am I to do? I'm to bring all of my worries, all of my anxieties to the Lord, and I'm to pray with thanksgiving. Our staff are going through the book of Psalms on Wednesday mornings, and two or three weeks ago, we were in Psalm 106, where Israel, the psalmist is recounting some of the history of Israel in the wilderness, and the psalmist says in Psalm 106, verse 12, they believed his word, they sang his praise. A few verses down, it says they didn't believe his word, and you know what they did? They murmured in their tents. Isn't it true that the more you trust God, the more you're in this book, the more you're on your knees, the more you sing the praises of God? But when we're characterized by unbelief, then we start murmuring, then we start complaining, then there's the anger, then there's the frustration, then there's the resentment against people and their difficult circumstances. So what am I to do? Says Paul, cast all of your cares on the Lord. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all of your cares or anxieties, same word here, casting all of your anxieties on the Lord, because he cares for you. Let me ask you, why are you insisting on carrying these anxieties, these worries, these problems and cares? They're not for you to carry. They belong to the Lord. You can't handle that problem. Why are you holding on to it? I know someone who can deal with it. Give it to the Lord. He easily handles our burdens and our worries. Psalm 55, verse 22, cast your burden on the Lord and he will sustain you. He will not permit the righteous to be moved. You've got the infinite resources of God to carry your worries and your problems, and you're insisting on carrying them yourself. Earlier this year, my dear wife, as many of you know, had a knee replacement. So it was, I think, on a Friday. Saturday, I'm bringing her home. And the nurse or someone there said to me, well, how are you going to get her into the house? I hadn't really thought about it. Because we have got steps at the front, and we've got a few steps from the back, from the garage, into the house. And she said, you know, she was saying, how many stairs are there? And Goodney and I had a disagreement about that, how many steps there were. I just happened to be right. I thought I'd mention that. And as I'm driving home, I thought, how am I going to get my dear wife up the stairs? Because there had been the debate, does she stay another day in hospital? And once you know the cost, I thought, no, I think we can manage this. Much as I love my wife, I don't want to go into bankruptcy over this. So we're heading home, and in the car I'm thinking, how am I going to get her up these stairs? You know, she's groggy, she's about a bit out of it. I get her in the car, we come back, open up the garage door, trying to get her a car. And then I thought, I can't lift my wife. I mean, I know I looked strong, but I thought, if I try and pick her up and let her drop, we're going to have more than a broken knee here. My son comes. I said, Christopher, I'm wondering how to get Mom up the stairs. He says, no problem. I says, what do you mean? He goes, he's 6'2", got a bit better, a little buffer than his dad, picks Goodney up, no problem, into the house. Something I'm struggling with, something I can't do, someone else comes and carries my burdens. That's it, isn't it? You've got that situation, and you've thought about it, and it's kept you awake at night, and for the life of you, you cannot solve this. And therefore there's worry, therefore there's anxiety. Here is our magnificent Lord Jesus Christ, who loves you, who cares for you. And he's saying to you, give me that burden, cast it upon me, I care for you. See, your circumstances change, but God changes not. God's so powerful that the biggest burden is absolutely microscopically tiny compared with the power of God. In this series with Wings of Eagles, we've been learning that we are to be God-centered, not problem-centered. We've been learning that most of us have a very, very small God, a God that we just want to use occasionally, rather than being God-centered and understanding the power and the might and the grace and the love of this huge God. That God is so big that he fills the whole universe and more besides. He's infinite in his size, infinite in his power, infinite in his love. And here we are on this earth struggling with these feverish worries, these nagging anxieties, and here is our magnificent Lord Jesus Christ and saying, give it all to me, and I'll carry your burdens. You see, the Lord can be absolutely trusted. Don't you trust the Lord? See, we worry when we think there's no one we can trust to get us out of the situation. We don't trust ourselves. We feel inadequate. We don't really trust anyone else in the circumstance to help us. Result, worry and anxiety. Take all of your worries, all of your feverish anxieties, all of your cares to the Lord. He loves you. He wants the best for you, and he can be absolutely trusted. Have we seen this in the series with Wings Like Eagles? That God is all-powerful. He's the creator of the ends of the earth. We were singing of his magnificent name. There's no higher name, there's no greater power than the power of the gospel, the power of the cross of Jesus Christ. So I have to ask you, brother, sister, and challenge you, are you trusting the Lord in that circumstance? You say, well, my life's very difficult, John. I've got these insuperable obstacles. I'm not denying that. Stop focusing on the storm. Stop being focused on the size of your problem. Focus on the might of God, to whom you're now bringing all of your cares, all of your worries, all of your problems, and you're casting your cares on him. Will you do that? He's all powerful. He's a God who can move mountains, and he loves us with an everlasting life. What am I saying? Obey the command, claim the promise, and exchange all of your worries for the peace of God. Verse 7 again. Will you do that? Exchange all of your worries for the peace of God. Verse 7, Philippians 4. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. What a deal. God receives all of my cares, all of my worries, and I receive his peace. Take that worry, take that care, and roll it on the Lord. And in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the stress, in the midst of the uncertainty and confusion and problem and heartache of life, the promise of the Christian gospel is that you will receive, as you do this, as you obey the command, you will receive a supernatural peace, a divine peace. Jesus spoke in John 14, he says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. He said that to disciples who were troubled. He said that to disciples who were confused. Peace I leave with you. And then, aren't you glad he says, my peace, not just peace, but the peace of Jesus I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled. You listen to this? Brother, don't let your heart be troubled. Neither let them be afraid. No trouble, no fears, no anxiety. And says Paul, this peace surpasses all understanding. It's humanly inexplicable. It surpasses human intelligence. It's beyond human comprehension. It's the tranquility and peace of God in our hearts. Have you ever experienced it? I know many of you have. I've known in the years I've been here at Calvary of some of you in extremely, extremely difficult and anxious situations. And as you've prayed and as we prayed with you, you have received that supernatural peace, taking all of my anxieties from my shoulders and handing them over to the Lord. And when you do that, says Paul, this peace will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. How do these worries and anxieties attack you? They attack you in your heart. You feel upset. You're in turmoil. And they get into your mind, don't they? Even at night as you're trying to sleep, they're there, and they play tricks in your mind. Says Paul, now if you do this, if you take your worries, if you give thanks to God, and you commit these to the Lord, you're going to know this supernatural peace, and it's going to be like a guard, keeping out the fears and anxieties and giving you his supernatural peace. Each day then, I'm to take that worry, I'm to take that anxiety, I'm to bring it to the Lord in prayer. And when we wonder if we can put one foot in front of another, and when we wonder if we're ever going to get through this terrible day of our lives, we claim this glorious promise, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Will you claim the promise? Now notice, the challenge and the promise are to those who are in Christ Jesus. Verse 7, it will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. See, the promise of this supernatural peace is not for everyone. It's for those who are in Christ Jesus. You say, John, what does it mean to be in Christ Jesus? It means that your faith and your trust are in Christ. If you're not a follower of Jesus Christ, I can tell you, your biggest problem isn't the anxiety and the worry that you're presently experiencing. Your greatest problem is your sin, which separates you from God. And there's no way out by yourself. You cannot get rid of that by yourself. It's too big a burden, and it separates you from God. But this is why our Lord Jesus Christ came into this world. He came as the burden bearer. So John the Baptist looked at Jesus and says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." There is hope for me as someone who has failed and broken the law of God. I look to Christ and I see him no longer as my judge, but I see him as my Savior, as one who takes my burden and has carried my burden and has paid the price for my sin at the cross, and I receive Christ. And as we sometimes sing, the burden of our sin rolls away. If you've ever read Pilgrim's Progress, you know the magnificent scene where Christian is at the cross and he's got this terrible burden on his back, a symbol of his sin. And as he comes to the cross, the burden of his sin rolls away, and it says, Bunyan says so wonderfully, and he'll never see it again. It's gone, completely gone. Are you in Christ Jesus? See, before you experience the peace of God, you must experience peace with God. We saw that when we went through Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. How can I receive peace with God? When I know Christ as my Savior, when I humble myself as a sinner and cry out to Christ for salvation. Have you done that? Do you know Christ? If not, get on your knees before God and ask him to come and to save you. Many of you are here this morning with burdens, cares, anxieties, and worries. They're wearing you down. They're robbing you of the joy of the Lord. Oswald Chambers says, absolutely refuse to worry. That's what Jesus is saying. Do not be anxious. Absolutely refuse to worry. Trust the Lord who loves you. Someone has said, I can't grasp God's plans and purposes, but with my whole heart, I trust his love. That thing that you're worrying about, that problem in your life, you can't understand it. You don't know why God has allowed it. We dealt last week with an answered prayer. I understand that. You can't grasp the situation. You can't work it out. But for the follower of Christ, we can say, in God's grace, with my whole heart, I trust his love. This peace is experiencing when we order our life according to the order of God, as we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And this morning, as we close, I'm inviting you to come with your worry, with your anxiety, and roll it on the Lord. Will you obey the command? Don't be anxious. Will you claim the promise, the peace of God? Will you exchange that anxiety for God's peace? And the Bible says, and the God of peace will be with you. What a way to live. Peace with God, experiencing the peace of God in my heart, and knowing that wherever I go in life, whatever the circumstances, the God of peace is with me. We're going to close with a wonderful hymn, Burdens Are Lifted at Calvary. Many of you know it. And as we sing it, we're going to stand and sing it. Can you just come with that burden? You may want to come and stand here or kneel here, that you're taking decisive action, that you are, in fact, with this burden that's on you of anxiety, a burden of worry, and that you're rolling it over to the Lord. And if you've never come to Christ, I invite you to come, because burdens are lifted at Calvary. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, but they who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Will you take that worry? I'm asking you to do it now. Take that worry, take that anxiety, and roll it on the Lord. Cast it on the Lord and ask Him to give you that peace which passes all understanding. Let's stand as we sing, "Burdens Are Lifted at Calvary." Father, thank you for speaking to us. May we respond with humble hearts. I pray for many here, my brothers and sisters, they're weighed down. Some have heavy, heavy loads, heavy burdens. May they bring them to Christ. We thank you that you're a God who loves us and cares for us. And they're so powerful that the most difficult situation that we can imagine is one that you can handle, because you're the Almighty God, the Creator of the ends of the earth. Speak to us, Father. Grant us your peace. In Christ's name, amen.